think a takeaway for students listening to us now is that we are taking the social distancing very seriously, and we are trying to put the best policies and practices in place to keep everybody as healthy as we can. That's our number one goal.
Welcome back to the Data Dogs podcast. I'm Lee Britton with my co-hosts Jake Mosley and Emily Nicholas. In this episode, we are going to talk about what the fall semester will look like. It'll be a little different this year than years past with the new protocols that COVID-19 brought back in March. The university is working diligently to create a safe and healthy environment as students begin to return to Athens and eventually to campus on August 20th. Most recently, Arch News sent the first email to students, new students, incoming students, indicating what guidelines will look like in the fall. And Jake and Emily and I will discuss what that means for students, the faculty and staff, and the University of Georgia community. So, hey, how are you guys doing, Emily and Jake?
Good. How about you, Emily?
Doing well. I'm excited to hop into this email. I know we were talking before. This was a very condensed message compared to kind of what they've been sending the staff, which is understandably a little more thorough and complex. So this email gave me a lot of peace of mind. I hope it does the same for our students as we walk through it.
Yes, and I'd like to add, too, for folks completely new to UGA, Arch News is kind of basically emails that come from the university to everybody come under the banner or the subject title Arch News. So, and also I would say it seems like UGA is going to be very intentional in their communication plan. So as staff, I know we get a weekly update from Arch News about plans for fall semester. I would assume there would be some regular communication with students as well. So be sure to be on the lookout for those emails. As we're about to get into, this fall semester is going to look a lot different in the classroom than we're used to. And so we want everybody to be prepared.
Yeah, we've been getting, as we're onboarding the MSBA students, we're getting a lot of questions as to what the university will be doing, especially if you're not from Georgia, the Athens area. This is your first time on campus. Not only is it different being on a brand new campus, but also being in a COVID-19 world right now, what will that look like? So we're going to kind of walk through the email that Arch News sent to you guys and kind of explain a little bit what that means and if there's any additional insight that we have as staff, maybe we can add a little bit more to these bullet points. So the first bullet point that was talked about was fall semester. Classes will begin on August 20th. That hasn't changed. That has always been on the academic calendar. So that is a Thursday, August 20th. So you have Monday through Wednesday to have on your own.
Well, not necessarily, because right?
That's true.
We're gonna hit them with orientation. So orientation, as we've discussed, is going to be online. It's going to be virtual. So that will start basically the Wednesday prior. I believe that's the 12th through the 19th. We're not going to ask anything of you guys on the weekends, but those weekdays, the 12th through the 19th, will be your orientation. And I have a quick update on that, too. In terms of pre-work that you'll need to be doing this summer, the Stats Boot Camp and the R Boot Camp, that stuff will come to you in August. So there is no work that you need to be doing as it relates to the R Boot Camp and the Stat Boot Camp. My understanding is faculty are still, I spoke to Dr. Cornwell and Srinivasan last week, they are still building those out. Their plan right now is to provide some materials that you would have access to in early August for you to kind of work through maybe at your own pace, or just to get you kind of exposed to some of the things they're going to cover. And they will be meeting with you, obviously remotely, but they will have some live teaching sessions during that orientation week. So if you're thinking about your boot camps, the main summer work is going to be with Andrew and the ELC stuff around your resume and things like that. And then your more of the curricular stuff will start in August. But to Lee's point, we'll see everybody in person on August 20th. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so what does that in-person look like? And the next bullet point is the in-person instruction will conclude at Thanksgiving break. So meaning that however they plan to do social distancing and the classroom setup and all of that, the academic calendar has that Thursday and Friday at the end of November for Thanksgiving, and you won't return to campus after Thanksgiving. Exams will be online the last week of classes that typically happen at the first week or two of December will be online, but they will continue to provide regular campus operations and student life services such as housing, dining, the student health center, transit, that will all still be open and remain open until the end of the fall semester.
Yeah, I was excited to see this because, to be honest, as a student, even years ago, one of the things about Thanksgiving break is that, like, so Thanksgiving was cool, and that was, it's always, like, one of my favorite times with family, but, man, like, there was also the worry of, like, oh, God, when this is over, like, the end of my semester crunch is coming, right? All the papers, all the things that I'd put off have to be done. So I kind of like, I think this sets up, I mean, I'll get into more of why it's probably a good health decision. But I think just from a experience, I think it's going to be great. You're here through Thanksgiving, and then depending on what your circumstances are, you know, you already have the peace of mind to know you can leave Athens if you need to. Another thing is there's only 1 week of classes after Thanksgiving. That's also sort of, I mentioned my stress as a student, but as a staff member, I feel that stress for students because they get back from this break and it is a madhouse for a week as everybody gets ready. So hopefully that will be less stress inducing. And then the obvious, I think, reason why UGA wanted to do this is I'm certainly no medical doctor, but, you know, everybody, a lot of people that can go home and travel would travel, and then to come back just for a week, that doesn't seem like the smartest play, I guess. The other thing too, though, to your point, thanks Lee for mentioning that everything was going to remain open. There will be some students who aren't able to travel for Thanksgiving, and it's good to know for them, or they don't want to. So sometimes those Thanksgiving conversations can be stress inducing themselves. But anyway, to Lee's point, if you're remaining on campus is still going to be open. You're going to have access to the things you need. So that's I just see that as just a big positive. So,
right. Yeah.
Sure. And tons of study space available, I would imagine, too, for those who do stay. I mean, they'll have their pick at the best study spot with the good lighting and, you know, all that good stuff. So,
right. When you need it the most. Right.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. So what does the daily class schedule look like? They'll be adjusted 5 minutes between classes to allow you time to walk between, should you choose to do so. And then campus transit buses will be operational, but with social distancing measures to limit passenger capacity on the buses. And they will send out more of a detailed schedule, the class schedule and the campus transit service in the coming week. So be on the lookout for that. I will say, you know, social distancing, what does that look like? And CDC guidelines, you know, 6 feet apart. And so I know that they're working on that right now to see what that looks like in the classroom and then buses and other public spaces where students typically are. So, you know, if you gather in the courtyards where the tables are, the common areas such as the grad common area, we're not entirely sure of how we will mark those that, you know, need to social distance, but, you know, just be aware that, that all of that will be coming up soon.
Yeah. Cause I think the college, when I say the college, Terry College, is in earnest putting those plans together. Cause you know, I'm starting to hear what, I can't remember exact numbers, but if a classroom seats 64, it's, you know, social distancing means only 30 students can be in there. Mm-hmm. Don't hold me on those numbers, but there's somebody doing that math and per square feet and everything. So I may not be right in 64 to 30, but somebody's on that math and And I think doing that for the whole building, including all of the study spaces that you mentioned. So I think we'll have more definitive stuff as we get closer to the start of the semester. I think a takeaway for students listening to us now is that we are taking the social distancing very seriously, and we are trying to put the best policies and practices in place to keep everybody as healthy as we can. That's our number one goal. Jumping back to the buses for just a second, and something that I mentioned in previous episodes, secure your parking because if you're parking right beside Correll Hall, the MSBA program, the majority of your courses are going to be in the BLC, if not, you know, 100%. And so Correll is one of six buildings within the entire building learning, the what do they call it, the business learning,
business learning.
Yeah. Community.
Thank you.
That's Commons?
No, it's community.
Okay, great.
Let's take a quick step back and say that the Terry College of Business occupies six buildings known as the Business Learning Community. It's, and they're all right there together. Correll Hall is one of which. It's housed the graduate programs. So if you're listening to this thinking about what's your life on campus going to be like, the majority of your classes are going to be in Correll Hall. I would say 100% of your classes are going to be in the business learning community, with the exception of electives you may take through a different department, such as statistics, or if you take health informatics with the College of Public Health. Not to get too far in the weeds, but all of this is to say, if you have your parking at the Hull Street deck or near Correll, you won't need to engage the bus system much. It is there, and it is good to know you have access to it. But it's also just a reminder to get your parking squared away. I think that deadline is coming up the end of June. So
it is. Sounds right. Thanks for that plug there, because that's important to our students.
Yeah, because again, that's one of the first things people come to me that I didn't do, and it's the least powerful I can be in terms of help. Like, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Goodness. Yeah, the one thing that I thought about with the extra transition between classes is that students, you know, normally kind of drop by our office and say hi and get a mint out of the bowl. And I thought, you know, that's going to need to be completely eliminated. Like, that bowl of mints, I mean, might as well be a bowl of COVID-19.
Oh, God.
If we don't remove. I mean, that would be a horrible. I mean, that would be like a breeding ground for this thing to be transmitted amongst our student population. So I'm just saying out loud, we got to remove the mints.
I hate to. Right? Oh, definitely. I wasn't going to go so far as to call it a bowl of COVID, but yes. Yes. I mean, that gets to a larger point that we want students prepared, but we don't even know like all of the things that we're going to have to do. And some of it we're going to find out in the moment, you know?
Yeah, right.
Because
exactly.
As a staff, we have already started talking about things like that. We did not get to the mints yet, but I'm in complete agreement with you. You know, we're worried. This breaks my heart to say, because our program really thrives on the interaction between us and students. And with social distancing, I don't think our doors can be as open as they've been in the past in terms of our MBA office suite and what social distancing means and the number of people per square feet. So some of that, or not some of that, that's the problem. I think all of that is going to have to be reimagined, but we're on it and we're going to do it with you. And we're looking forward to, I feel like I'm still at home. What day is this? Like from when we first sent home, right? Like, I need like a 1 week, like complete checkout. And then I think I'm going to be ready to dive into what August is, you know, and let's get going with these students. So.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good point about you know, having, we've always said we have an open door policy for our students that can come in and ask questions, not just about the program itself, but anything that's on your mind. And so that'll be a little bit of a struggle for me, because we always want to be aware of, you know, what's on your mind and what you want to share with us. And I think that they, you know, our offices, our individual offices, I don't know if you can have that 6 feet span between ourselves and the student unless we are literally in the corners of the room, which we can do with your face mask on. You know, we're going to try every avenue here. But I don't know if they want to put advising appointments online, because we're doing that through Microsoft Teams now for our Double Dog students. And then what that will look like for CMC, because the CMC interacts with our students so much on things that just pop up. And, you know, we like the fact that they can just come walk in and say, oh my gosh, I just got, you know, selected to do an interview. What do I do? And can I talk to somebody? And so, you know, we're keeping that in mind of how that will happen. And like Jake said, you know, that may happen in real time. You know, we may have to, in the heat of the moment, say, okay, let's go in our corners because we have to talk right now.
But rest assured too that I think I want folks to listening to know that we want everybody to be safe and healthy. Exactly. And that's where we're as a staff too, there are multiple layers to this, right? Like, how is the university laying out how everybody's moving around campus? How's Terry College laying out? How's everybody moving around Crail Hall? And then us, how's everybody moving around our office space? Because if you haven't visited us, our office suite has, I think we have 13 staff members. So we're fortunate. We've got a lot of real estate there. So we need to figure out, you know, how to manage that appropriately. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And speaking of social distancing in the classroom is our next bullet point that was in the email and what that will actually look like. And I touched a little bit on this a moment ago, but so every session will be attended in person, but we'll meet with their professors online for office hours. Some students will attend class in person while others will be attending online, kind of a rotating thing. So faculty may deliver online lectures with in-person breakout sessions. A variety of options are available. Faculty members will use this approach or approaches best suited to their classrooms. Kind of break this down a little bit better. It could be that this is a cohort of 50 to 55 students that we'll have. As Jake mentioned, some of our classrooms hold 60, some hold a little bit more, some so hold a little bit less. So if we are in a classroom that holds 64, for instance, it's kind of hard to social distance with our 50 students. Some of our Double Dog students may not be in those classes because they've taken those courses, they're opting out, replacing it with an elective. That may help with some of the classrooms. If it's still an issue where we can't social distance, the professors may have to record their lecture, have it available later. It's possible it may be in real time. I know that this is something that they're trying to figure out, but you know, the idea is to try and be in person on campus in a safe way for the best that we can.
Yes,
how I can put it.
And it seems like one of the things that I think they're anticipating will happen is, let's say there are 50 students in a section, maybe half of those students will come 1 week and the other half would come the next week. Mm-hmm. But all would have access to the material and the learnings online. Mm-hmm. So if you weren't expected in the classroom, the lecture would still be available to you through ELC. So,
I think there's been a lot of conversation about kind of what this looks like. And I think what I'm appreciating is the flexibility that the professors are having to design the delivery of their course according to the material. You know, the way that you would teach, you know, maybe a Python course with these students may be different than the way we would teach a career course. The need for in-person engagement and one-to-one feedback is different according to each professor and each curriculum. So I think while it's vague now and it'll take more time to plan for it, I think the outcome will be better because it'll be designed specifically for our students and for the material that they'll be learning.
Yes, and I think, you know, comfort to me that the students can't see right now is that planning is happening in earnest. We were a part of a meeting with all of the MSBA faculty last week, and everything Emily said came up. And so they're designing the material to be delivered, or designing how they're going to deliver their material as best suited to the curriculum. So we're at it. Like our faculty are on top of it as well to provide the best experience we can in the fall.
Right. Yeah. And I know that they are learning the technology as it goes too. So be patient too. Right.
Yes.
This is the first
yes.
time we're having to totally revamp what a fall semester or an academic year looks like. So there will be glitches, and there will be, I'm sure, you know, different methods that will be used to do it the best we can. So, you know, just practicing patience as well. So moving on to the next point is self-monitoring and face coverings, face masks. And it's in the best interest of the health and safety of our community that the University of Georgia is requiring all faculty, staff, and students to self-monitor yourselves and be aware of the symptoms of COVID-19. Questions that if you haven't been to a doctor's office yet or been to a place where they require the questionnaire to those that come in. They're asking if you've had a cough or respiratory issues, a fever. All of these issues that are relevant are consistent with COVID-19 patients. So just kind of being aware of your own symptoms. Not that that's the only virus that's out there. My family and I have already come across of having a cold. And so the first thing on my mind is, we've got it, you know, let's go get tested. And we did go to the doctor, but they pretty much told us that it's just another cold. So yes, there are colds out there, but not to scare you into thinking that that's what you have, but to be aware of what the symptoms are. And so UGA is providing a digital thermometer to all faculty, staff, and students, as well as two reusable and washable cloth face coverings. At this time, USG, University of Georgia, is not requiring you wear a face mask. However, it is strongly encouraged that you are, especially if you're in a classroom that social distancing is close. You may be at that 6 foot apart point. And for the safety of you and the safety of your peers and your faculty members and your staff, we are strongly encouraging you to wear the masks and to wash them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't forget to wash them.
And your hands. Yes, yes. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to say publicly that unless I'm in my office alone, I will be wearing a face mask so I can protect myself and others. So that's my commitment to you all, to our staff and our students and our faculty, and I'd encourage you to join me and others.
Samesies. I am I'm getting accustomed to the masks. So, yeah.
Yes.
And another protocol in there is to, they are supplying ways to disinfect the area that you're in. So I know that they're going to have disinfecting stations, more hand sanitizing stations within the buildings. Maybe in the classroom, I can't remember that, but there will be plenty of opportunities for you to wash your hands and to wipe your hands or hand sanitize your hands. And, you know, just keep that in mind when you're sitting in the classroom. They may ask you to wipe the areas down after you leave. And if you aren't comfortable with what that person did ahead of time before you, there are stations there that you can grab a wipe and wipe down your area. I'm guilty of doing that. And I did this way before the whole COVID-19 thing. Like, I wiped down my carts at the grocery store. Maybe that was because my daughter was sick all the time as a baby. And so it was like, oh gosh, I have to wipe down everything because she puts everything in her mouth. Still does. So that's always in the forefront of my mind is having a clean area to be in and to for others, because my 4-year-old has been there and sneezing on everything. So I want to wipe down what she left behind. So we're hoping that those are in classrooms to feel a little bit more secure about your personal space that you'll be sitting in. Those will be in there as well. All of this that we're saying in the email is going to be in a training video to kind of reiterate what we've been talking about. And that will be sent to your UGA email later in the summer before you return in August. And it will inform you of extensive measures that are being taken to promote your health and safety, as well as your own individual responsibility to follow the UGA guidelines and obviously prevent the spread of COVID-19. And like I said, that those training videos will be sent to you guys later this summer. And we hope that you will soak it in and be ready for the fall.
Yeah, let's be as prepared as we can.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Student requests for COVID-19 related accommodations. So the CDC determined that older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions may be at higher risk for severe illness from the COVID-19. They are requesting that students ask for accommodations that will be handled through the Disability Resource Center. The DRC professional staff work directly with students to assess their individual needs and to develop appropriate plans for accommodations and services. I'll post the link to the DRC and the show notes and the phone number as well. And then also their website, so that if you need to request any kind of accommodations, that those guidelines will be there. So we'll definitely add that in the show note there.
Yeah, because that's really important. Obviously, if you have some underlying conditions or you feel you're at extra risk, that is a decision that is going to be handled through the Disability Resource Center. So, obviously, reach out to them. Please keep us in the loop, too, because the decision is theirs and they handle that process. But if you need any support or help or guidance from us, that's what we're here for as well. So.
Yes. And one thing that the last thing that the email pointed out to you guys is to check your emails, please.
Oh,
your
yes.
UGA emails. Ever since you have admitted into this program and you've created your My ID and your UGA email account was created, that is the email that is going to be communicated with you guys. So please start checking those emails if you haven't already. That is going to be where everything is sent from our department.
That's really important, because that's how we're communicating with you. That's how, obviously, the university, but should you need something from the Office of Global Engagement for our international students, that is how that unit is communicating with you. The grad school, if they have anything, they're coming to your UGA email address now, should be. And we mentioned Arts News earlier, the communication updates for what's coming in the fall. So get accustomed to checking your UGA email. It's time.
Yes. So. And the university also has a COVID-19 website that I will place in the show notes as well. If there's anything that we missed, or if you want to look back over, they may have a little bit more of a anything else, resources that you're looking for. So we'll put that in the show notes too. So that is what the University of Georgia is doing. Many of you have asked that are new to Athens, what Athens is doing, what does the community look like, what is the protocol? And so we're kind of going to shift gears a little bit and talk about what Athens is doing as a whole related to the COVID-19 protocol.
Yeah, I would say much like the university, Athens as a town is still taking social distancing very seriously. Good bit of mask wearing. I know my family, we're still social distancing. My mother-in-law has asthma, so we're kind of, and we want to see her as much as we can. So we're doing a lot of takeout. Some restaurants are open back up. Some of our favorites, we've been getting takeout throughout this pandemic. And so we're continuing to do that. that's kind of our way to sort of get out and sort of taste and see a little bit of Athens, but we bring it home. So,
Yeah. One other thing that I learned about, and I know we were talking about before, related to kind of how businesses on the whole are responding. I know a lot of times you walk into one restaurant and to pick up your takeout order and everybody's masked, and then, but you may go by another one and they're just hanging out like everything's normal. So in Athens specifically, I would say, you know, I'd echo what Jake says, is that most people are taking it really seriously. And one effort of the local Chamber of Commerce and another partnership program called Envision Athens is they've had businesses sign up for something called Ready, Set, Go Safely. And so if you Google it, it's kind of a little image of a, it looks like a soldier. Is it supposed to be like an Athenian guard?
Okay.
Or something?
Yeah.
Just, it's something like Greco-Roman, you know, it's metal on the head. And then there's a, I don't know. There's a word for it. It's clearly being lost on
like
me.
Like a Trojan, but kind of.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
But you don't have to wear this to go in the store, right?
No.
You're just talking about the.
Only. What if that was the new innovation, though? Because, I mean, it would be very protective. I can't imagine how hot it would be, but it would be very protective. No, but basically this is just, you know, the Ready, Set, Go Safely. There's just a list of six guidelines that businesses are saying, you know, we commit to following CDC guidelines. We're going to implement social distancing measures in the store. We're going to clean things accordingly. And they're also going to ask their patrons to do the same. So it's basically, you know, like a... Like if you go into a retail store or a restaurant that has the Ready, Set, Go Safely kind of sign on their door, you can feel safe going in there. And then you also know that you're going to be held to a, you know, a social distancing, a higher standard once you walk in. So for those who are going to move to Athens and want to get out and about, look for that sign. And maybe if you don't see it, ask the restaurant owner about it. And maybe you could encourage them to participate in the same way.
Yeah. And I would say too, you mentioned that was by the local Chamber of Commerce. So that's going to be mostly your small independent local businesses. So like if you need to go to Lowe's or Target or Home Depot, I don't know that they're going to have that up. But I think that also speaks to who we are here in Athens. So it's great to see the small business community providing that for everybody.
Yeah, they I know a lot of restaurants here are only doing reservations only to practice social distancing, so there's not a line outside, or they aren't you know, pushing tables together or whatnot. So there are many different ways that when patio seating too, so if there's an outside seating, then, you know, fresh air, right?
Yeah.
Helps move the air a little bit. I will say that, like, when I went to Barbaritos, which is a local taco or, you know, Mexican type food here, and they already have that barrier up, right, that, you know, is between the food and the people that are ordering, and then they have on face masks. So for me, it's hard to hear what they're saying. Like, I'm having to lean in closer and figure out what they're saying, and most of the time I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds good. So I get this meal that has a bunch of stuff in there that I didn't order. So be clear on what you know, if he's, because it's, you know, you have another protection over your face. And
yeah, so, a lot of these places, or some of the places that we're using too, allow you to order online. So
I know, see, I forget to use apps and order online and all that, because, you know.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not so much that I'm super woke. It's just that my wife is worried to death about this stuff. And so she, anything we can order online. So,
for sure.
That's all.
Oh, I killed Amazon. Like, my credit card hates me because I just.
Man, I worry. So much on Amazon. I worry about the long term effects this is having on our 4-year-old, because she, like, sees the Amazon truck coming and she wants to know, what is that for her? It's like,
It's just like, you know, I'll tell Emma, it's like, oh, we don't have that. She goes, oh, well, you just get your phone and order it. I'm like, what? I didn't know that
concept.
Yeah.
So if you want to know what's going on in Athens in our community, check out visitathensga.com. www.ASU.com/ReadySetGoSafelyAthens, and we'll have that in the show notes too, and you can kind of check out what's going on there.
Heck yeah.
So, so anything else you guys want to add as far as protocol guidelines that we're looking forward to fall?
No, I mean, I hope, I know it's a lot for us to go through, but we're on it, and I'm excited about what the university and Athens is doing to keep everybody safe. So.
Yes, I think we'll be set up well, and I'm personally eager to kind of get back in the office and, you know, put some, I don't know, arrows on the floor and indoors and outdoors. And I feel pretty strongly about that. It sounds like a fun project to me. But I think the priority is to make it so we can still interact, but interact safely. Yeah. I did also think about, I don't know if actors have like, you know, their spot where they have to land when they're on set. I feel like we should just put X's along the hallway. It's like, okay, this is a place where a student can stand, and this is a place where a student can stand. Oh. Where we can have group chats and interact. So yeah. Just talking out loud.
No, here. I'm loving it. I'm excited to see what we do with this. I think we're a close-knit staff, and so mm-hmm. figure out how we remain close and socially distance is going to be, I think we're going to have fun with it. And honestly, in service of our students too, because with a big part of what we're here for y'all. And so mm-hmm. seeing and interacting with y'all is a big piece of that. So we're going to have to put our plans in place. So
yeah, we should bring back telephone. You know how you put the cans up to your ears and connected it with the line? We could do mm-hmm. like a whole big telephone thing.
I love it. I'm into it. I also have my walkie-talkies from a long time ago.
Just about okay. to go to walkie-talkies.
Bringing yeah. it back to the 90s. Okay, I went back as far as the 60s.
Yeah, it's okay. We're thinking outside of the box. That's what counts. Yeah.
There we go.
Yes.
All right, guys, let's talk about what's in our summer cooler. Emily, what do you have going on?
Well, my birthday is on Tuesday, woo-hoo! June 30th, end of the fiscal year. This will probably be coming out around that time. So I'm not asking you to DM me, but just, you know, throw some good energy into the world. I'm a birthday person, but I'm not an annoying birthday person. I just appreciate my birthday and I make plans for myself. I don't expect people to make plans for me. That's the dividing line in my mind between an annoying birthday person and a regular enthusiastic birthday person, as I am. I'm excited about that. The other thing that I'm really enjoying is there's both a blackberry and a blueberry bush in the backyard, and the blueberry bush is slow, but the blackberry bush is, I mean, it's just exploding. There's probably 2 cups of blackberries every single day. And so I have like a yummy fruit cobbler crumble situation that I made last week. Ooh. And I'm going to make it again because it was so good. So yeah, just like picking blackberries, it's like relaxing in the baking process. So that's what's in my summer cooler. It's been real nice.
Heck yeah. Well, piggybacking off that really quick, we went and picked blueberries at a, you know, you pick blueberry farm just outside of Athens. And that was cool because like we did it with some folks we hadn't seen in a while because you could be socially distanced outside and everything like that. And so, mm-hmm. so yeah, that I hear you. Getting outside is really, really good. So
yes. Yes.
Cool.
Anything else in your cooler, Jake?
What's it? So I think, last time I touched on trying to educate myself more on, you know, sort of the systemic racism and the issues that are going around right now. So I continue to do that. I've dug in. I've found a book called White Fragility that I have started listening to that is helping me. Also, as y'all know, I love podcasts. There's a podcast called Seeing White that has been really helpful to me. So, and one other thing that I've done, I mentioned this previously too, I'm still all about musicians online. So, Mike Cooley of the Drive-By Truckers did an online set for Father's Day. And so that was actually more cathartic than I expected. It was, you know, my wife's a big Truckers fan too. So we both got some enjoyment out of that. So still doing that. So that's nice. Me. Lee, how about you? What's in your cooler?
My daughter is a huge, she loves to swim. And so we kind of bit the bullet and put her in swim lessons, some private swim lessons. So we've kind of been in the pool this past week, and and so we've had more opportunities to go outside. It's warming up. It's getting hot. So we've been hanging out at a pool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it entertains her too. So it always helps. And then my brother plays bass in a band where I'm from in Alabama. And he's been connecting with the local musicians down there, and they've put out some pretty interesting music lately that's been fun to listen to. He lived in New Orleans for a little while and got into the blues scene and the jazz scene, and so he plays the upright bass, and so a lot of the collaboration he's been doing lately, he's been recording it and sending it to me. So we've kind of been on a jazz kick for a while.
That is cool.
Yeah. So he's, awesome. A friend of his is actually doing a CD release in July, and they're doing like a virtual online thing. That he actually gets to play with him. So I've been catching up with his music on Spotify, so I know what they're going to play. So
heck that's awesome. Well, something too. I mean, it's always good to have things to look forward to as well, like any right. You know, sort of return to normalcy too.
Yeah.
So and speaking of tunes in Spotify, maybe you should plug our Athens playlist.
Yeah. Right? So last year we Andrew Salinas had a really good idea of putting together a playlist of Athens made bands that grew out of Athens, and so for orientation last year, we started up every session with our Athens playlist that's on Spotify. I was going to mention like the exact name.
Well, you can put it in the show notes too.
I'm going to put it in the show notes for sure, but I think it's just called Athens playlist. But anyway, there's a variety of music that you can listen to that from different bands that from different genres that's in one playlist. So check it out and listen to the music that grew out of Athens.
Yeah. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's our music talk. I like the music talk.
I do.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I do too. So that's always a big part of my cooler. So we've given you guys something to add to your summer cooler. We've given you an Athens playlist. So check it out.
Yes. Yeah. Share what's in your summer cooler too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks guys for listening to us and just letting us rant on about the next things that are coming up in the fall. So if you have any other questions or concerns or where to find things, you can always reach out to us and we can direct you in the right direction. So thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thanks. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
This has been another episode of the Data Dogs podcast. For more information about the MSBA program at the University of Georgia, find us at www.georgiaanalytics.com and on our social media platforms, Georgia Analytics.